Amen. Well, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you honor and glory, Lord. We just thank you for this evening, Lord. We thank you for your spirit, Lord. We thank you for your presence, Lord. We thank you for what you've already been doing here in this place, Lord. And Father God, we just pray, Lord, you move mightily in this place, Lord. Continue to speak to us. Continue to minister our hearts, Lord. Continue to give us strength, Lord. We thank you for your peace, your goodness, your love, Lord. We give you all honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome, Miss. So, we left off chapter 43, and we are going to do chapter 44 today. It kind of has a, I don't want to say weird ending, but it's not really an ending. But, yeah, but it leaves you with a cliffhanger, and it's going to definitely make you want to come back or tune in next week. So, anyways, so we're in the story of Joseph, and he saw his brothers, and we left off, and I'm going to read the last verse of chapter 43. It says, I'll just read the last part. They had a feast with him, remember, and he sat them down by age, and they knew all this, and they didn't know how they knew all this. But anyways, it says, so they drank and were merry with him, right? So we see that chapter 43 ends up in a good story. It ends up with a good story for them, for the brothers at least, right? Remember, he asked for the youngest brother, and they didn't want to, and, you know, you're going to kill our father, and all that whole stuff. And finally, they bring him. And this ending here was like, okay, cool. We had a feast, and everything is well, right? They drank and were merry with him. Right, we go to chapter 44. Let's read the first couple of verses. Verse 1 says, and he commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sack with food as much as they can carry, and put each man's money in the mouth of his sack. Also put my cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest, and his grain money. So he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning dawned, the men were sent away, they and their donkeys. I'll stop right there. So we're going to see in chapter 44 with this cliffhanger, we're going to see a little bit about the brothers, and then we're going to see something about Judah, and then we're going to end with a real cool promise. Amen? So we see that after they drank and they were merry and they had this feast, and now it looks like they're on their way. Right? In verse 3 again, it says, as soon as the morning dawned, the men were sent away, they and their donkeys. Now, they don't know about verse 1 and 2. They don't know what happened, right? Joseph told the servant, hey, put this back in there and then put this cup in Benjamin's sack, right? They don't know that's happening. So, according to them, they're at verse 3. As soon as the morning, they were sent away, they and their donkeys. So, what do you guys think was going on in their minds right here? What do you guys think? Right? They think, I wrote down, says they thought that they were good, even to the point that they got away with something. Right? Now we know the story. We know what they did to Joseph. Obviously, they don't know this yet. But they're thinking, wow, we were thinking if we brought the brother, something was going to happen, and we already lost Joseph and all this stuff. Right? But they thought, wow, they're sending us away. We just had a great feast. So they're thinking, we're good. We're in the clear. Anybody ever been there? Right? They think, I'm in the clear. Right? I thought I was going to have to confess something, but I didn't have to, or I don't want to. Right? And then you get out of it and you think, I got out of it. I'm in the clear and let's go home. Right? We're going back with food and we're going back with our youngest brother and everything's good and we can continue to live our lives as we were doing. So they were thinking, they thought they were good, even got away with it. They left with joy and peace, right? According to them, right? They left with joy and peace. I mean, at least probably I would have, right? Man, we thought, we weren't sure what we were going to get into, but yet they're sending us home now. And we got what we need. And nothing happened, right? Verse 4 says, when they had gone out of the city, And we're not yet far off. Joseph said to his steward, get up, follow the men, and when you overtake them, say to them, why have you repaid evil for good? Is it not the one from which my Lord drinks and which and with which he indeed practices divination? You have done evil in so doing. So he overtook them, and he spoke to them these same words. And they said to him, why does my Lord say these words? Far be it from us that your servants should do such a thing. Look, we brought back to you from the land of Canaan the money which we found in the mouth of our sacks. How then could we steal silver or gold from your Lord's house? With whomever our servants it is found, let him die, and we also will be the Lord's slaves. And he said, now also let it be according to your words. He with whom it is found shall be my slave, and you shall be blameless. So we see again that they left, probably happy, in the clear, right? We thought we got away with it, right? Everything went good according to plan. Maybe sometimes we plan it out, right? I'm not going to say this, or we have a backup plan, or whatever it may be, whatever our mind is telling us, whatever trickery our mind is trying to come up to cover up stuff, right? And we got to the point where we were clear, but now we see that as they're going, right, you turn around all of a sudden, hey, why are they following us now, right? Why are these guys following us? Why is this happening? And we see that sin is following them right now, right? It's falling. They can't shake it no matter what, right? And we're going to see in this chapter 44, it teaches us a good lesson of repentance, right? And we see that Joseph, when he was first talking to them, he wanted to see if it came out, right? Remember, he wept, right, when they finally said, oh, finally, we got caught, right? But now he wants to see how they treat the younger brother, and he wants to still see more. If their attitudes have changed, where they're at. And we're going to see at the end of the chapter what happens. Excuse me. But we see that as for them, here they come. And they overtake him. And they say, why would you take this cup, the one that he drinks of? Why that one? Why would you repay evil for good? You were treated good. We had a feast. Why would you do this bad, right? And according to them, they're blameless. Right? According to them, there's nothing wrong, right? According to them, they're in the clear, right? Because up to this point, right, Joseph's brothers, all of the brothers, right, they had this lie, and they kept this lie, and they had suffered, according to them, no consequences for it, right? Excuse me. So nothing had happened according to them. They hadn't told the truth. And they hadn't gone through any consequences because of it. According to them, at least. Right? They kept this lie. And then they believed the lie. Right? Remember, they sold them. And then eventually it turned to Joseph's dead. And now they're saying, oh, and one is dead already. They don't know for sure, but they're just assuming it's dead. And eventually, right? Anybody ever, right? You don't have to raise your hand. Don't expose yourself. Anybody ever lie? And then you've said that lie so much that now it becomes a truth. Right? And maybe down the line they ask you about it and you're like, man, I've already lied about it 20 times. It just becomes a truth now. It's still a lie. Right? And they were at this point where they believed the lie already. Right? They had this in them. They did this great thing. And they believed the lie. And that's the way their lives was. And up to this point, according to them, they were in the clear. Right? They thought I'm good. Right? They thought I'm good. And a lot of us and a lot of people, right? Maybe not here, but we've carried something and we think I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. Nobody's noticing or nobody knows or nobody hears or nobody, right, sees or nobody whatever. Right? And we lie to ourselves or we've lied to ourselves and we said, no, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. And you made up a story to cover it up, and you cover it up. King David is a famous story about covering up sin and covering up sin and covering up sin. Right? And it starts off in the springtime where kings were at war. He stayed home. Right? Instead of doing what he was supposed to be doing, he stayed home. He was exposed. He saw her and he slept with her. And then he killed, right? And it's sin. And he covered and he covered and he covered and he covered. Right? And he covered and he covered and he covered. And guess what? We're going to always continue to cover and cover and cover. Why? Because God wants to set us free. Amen? He wants to set us free. His desire for us is that we live free. Free from guilt, free from sin, free from shame, right? This last Sunday, we went to the cemetery, and we went and we put a Christmas tree at my mother's graveside. 2012, she passed away, and we put a tree there, right? My daughter was just decorating it and stuff, and we've done this over and over. But yet, standing there, right, this 2012, 6 years later, I'm still standing there, and all of a sudden, thoughts start to come up. Right? Memories, but then thoughts of, well, you could have done this, and man, I should have done this, and maybe this could have happened, or I would have done this, right? And all of a sudden, you start to feel like guilt, and you're like, well, you got to tell that, shut up, right? And you can't listen to those, right? The flesh wants to come up, the devil wants to come and bring condemnation, right? But we know that that's not of God, right? I've been forgiven, whatever it is. I've been set free, and you know they're trying to follow you around and try to put the shackles on you again. But you say, no way, I'm free already, right? And even at that, you sit there and you think, and I was thinking, I was like, wow, these thoughts come, in the memories they come, but you got to remind yourself, it is the Lord's will that you live a life free from sin, free from shame, free from condemnation, free from guilt. Right? And the Lord, if we don't know what it is, if we don't know what it is that's bothering us, if we don't know what it is that's keeping us down, whatever it may be, just ask Him, Lord, show me, right? Show me what it may be. What are the things, right, that keep me from fully, fully worshiping You, from fully, fully following You, right? Because it's His will that we live free. So He overtook them, right? He spoke to them the words that He told them. Why did you repay this? And they had gone all this way. They left with joy and peace, but we know that authentic joy and peace is not built on lies, right? This was their own joy and peace. Why? Because maybe they thought they got away with something, right? Maybe they thought I got away. Maybe they thought everything was good, as you said. We're good. We're in the clear. We're going back home. We got our food, everything, right? But there's still, it's all, the foundation of that is a lie. Then they're living that lie and they're believing. And not only that, it's affecting the family. And the whole family has to live on that lie, right? They may not know it's a lie, but they built that lie and now everybody's living on that lie, right? But the Lord wants to do something. God wanted to do something in their life, just like God wants to do something in each and every one of our lives. Authentic joy and peace can never be based on lies. They must be founded on truth. Right? They must be founded on truth. John chapter 8. I got to read this. Excuse me. Chapter 8. Excuse me. Verse 31. I'm getting there. John chapter 8 verse 31 reads this. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, "If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." They answered Him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Right? Jesus in our lives, we accept Jesus in our lives, and we confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It is His will that we live free. Free from sin, right? we don't have Jesus, we don't have this freedom, we're slaves. We were slaves to sin. Right? And now Jesus, the truth, has set us free. Right? Why still feel this, or I still may feel this, or go through this? Right? Continue to call out to Jesus. Right? He sets you free. He wants to help you, whatever the situation is, whatever the circumstances may be. It is His desire and it is His will that you be free. Amen? See, they thought their false joy and peace was going to run out. Actually, they're going to learn that their false joy and peace is going to run out. Verse 11 says, then each man, and I like this, then each man speedily let down his sack to the ground and each opened his sack. So he searched. He began with the oldest and left off with the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they tore their clothes, and each man loaded his donkey and returned to the city. So Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house, and he was still there, and they fell before him to the ground. What is that picture of right there where it says in verse 11, then each man speedily let down his sack to the ground? What do you guys think, Carter?
They were
sure. Sure, right? They were like, I got nothing wrong here. And they just threw it down real quick. Let us go back to our lives. They were so sure on this lie that they built, right? This deceit that they lived on. Right now, they didn't know it got put in there, but they were just so sure, right? And as I said earlier, that sin had been following them, right? Sin had been following them. And we see that they were overtaken. And finally, they find that it says they searched and they began with the old once again. They go from the oldest, right? Make it more dramatic. They go from the oldest. And everybody probably as they're opening the sacks and they're checking, it's like, I told you. And they're all going through each one of them. And finally they find it. It began with the oldest, left off with the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. And they tore their clothes, and each man loaded his donkey, returned to the city. Tearing their clothes, what does that mean? Right? It's mourning. Somebody died. They know what's going to happen, right? I mean, just think of this, right? Benjamin, we didn't want to bring him because we said, and they're going to tell him, we said if we bring him, it's going to bring death to our father. And then they're probably thinking now, well, they're going to kill Benjamin now, right? He just stole his cup, the one that he drinks out of, right? This is huge, right? They even try to say, look, we return the money. We're honest people, right? We're honest people. We return the money. We're good. It says, then they tore their clothes and each man loaded his donkey and returned to the city. So Judah and his brother came to Joseph's house, and he was still there, and they fell before him to the ground. This is now the third time that the brothers bowed down to Joseph. You guys remember a dream in chapter 37? And they hated him for it, right? You will bow down to me, right? Probably not the smartest way to give it to them, but to give them the dream, the message. But he was hated for it because of this. And this is now the third time that they're in front of Joseph and they bow down to him, right? The dream is fulfilled, right? And they go and they're going back and just think of the fear, think of what's going on. And you got to think that something's happening in their hearts. At least we're going to see in Judah's heart, something is happening, right? You got to think, I mean, I'm about to get caught or something's happening here, right? Just think, and I'll just talk about myself right now. When something maybe, or you may be trying to hide something, a sin, or something you did, something you said, or a lie, whatever it may be, when you feel it's getting exposed or it's getting close to it, right? You are not comfortable at all, right? Something's going on, or you're thinking, or you're trying to find a way out, or you're trying to find all these things, these excuses and these possibilities, and that's got to be going in their mind right now. And they go back, and verse 15 says, and Joseph said to them, what deed is this you have done that you not know that such a man as I can certainly practice divination? Then Judah said, "What shall we say to my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God has found out the iniquity of your servants. Here we are, my Lord's slaves, both we and he also with whom the cup was found." But he said, "Far be it from me that I should do so. The man in whose hand the cup was found, he shall be my slave. And as for you, go up in peace to your father." This last part right here, we're going to see this test right here. And it had to be a test, right? He says, "We're going to keep Benjamin. You guys go in peace." He wants to see still, how are you going to treat your younger brother, right? How much do you really want to cover this sin? How much do you really want to cover this lie, right? Do you want to just come to a place and say, "Lord, forgive me"? Or do you want to still cover it and say, "You know what? Covering this sin is way more important to me that I'm going to say, you know what? Go ahead and keep him. I'll go back. I'm clear from this. I'm clear from this. I'm gone. And when I get home, I'll just make up another lie. I made one up for Joseph. I'll do it again for Benjamin." Right? They could have thought that. They could have said, "Man, my sin is not going to get exposed. Right? So I'm out of here." He even gave them that avenue to go. Right? He says, "You guys go." Right? They say in verse 16, right? It says, "God has found the iniquity of your servants. Here we are, my Lord's slaves, both we." So it sounds "both we," but then he still gives them an avenue. So we're seeing here, and we're going to see Judah. It kind of just goes into Judah next, right? But we see here that something's happening in Judah, right? Or at least it's showing us here that something's happening in Judah in particular, that he's starting to speak up. He's starting to become their spokesman, right? Excuse me. And he says, "He found our iniquity. Here we are." And still yet, like I said, he's testing them. He says, "I'm going to give you guys an avenue, a little escape. See where you guys really are. See what's happening here in your lives. Was there a change? Was something happening?" Right? Numbers 32:23 says, "Your sin will find you out." Right? So we saw that sin was following them. Right? Eventually, they're at a point where you can't really say no more. Right? What are you going to say? What is this point? I remember a lot of times, just as the boys were growing up, I would talk to them a lot, and something would happen, or I would talk to them about something. And a lot of times, I would tell them, I would say, "Hey, look it. Don't try to argue it, or don't try to come up with something else. If you did it, let's just admit it, and then we can move on." Right? And it's funny how, at least for me, and any other people with children, you're listening, as you're trying to correct your child, as you're trying to discipline, right? I know for me, I get ministered to as well. Right? A lot of times you're like, "How can you keep doing this when I tell you over and over and over not to do this, and yet you're stood?" And then you're like, "Ah, yeah, I know, Lord." Right? I was sitting just like, "I told you the same thing too." I said, "Yes, Lord, I'm sorry." Right? Well, we try to discipline them or correct them, and at the same time, right, lend an ear, because I think the Lord may be trying to speak to us as well. But anyways, they get to this point where sin has found them. Right? Their sin, you can't cover it up anymore. Why can't you cover it up? Because it's the Lord's will that you be set free. And you can't be completely set free if you're trying to hide something. Or if you're trying to still carry something. Right? Or if you just can't. Right? We've tried. We try. And it's just, you just can't. Right? It just doesn't go. It's a square peg in the round hole. Right? It just can't happen. Right? The Lord wants you to give it all to Him. Amen? Many times I've heard people say, "Let me fix a couple things, and then I'll start going to church. Let me take care of a couple issues, and then I can give my life to the Lord." Right? And a lot of times you have to tell them, like, "See, no, you don't understand. The Lord wants you just as you are. Allow Him to show you His goodness. Allow Him to help you. Allow Him." That's what He wants. He wants you to be set free. We can't do it alone. When you stop defending yourself is when God can show us His mercy. Right? We want to make up excuses. We want to say this and we want to try this and we want to do that. Right? You just got to stop. Just got to forgive my words. Just shut up. And just say, Lord, I'm sorry. Right? And Lord, just do your will. Right? Just Lord, do your will. Luke 18, I won't read it, but it's a parable. And it's about pride. But Luke 18, verses 9 through 14, right? It talks about the tax payer and the Pharisee, I believe. And one of them prays and he says, look at me, right? I'm paraphrasing, but he says, look at me. He's like, I'm not like this guy. They both go, it says they both go to prayer and he says, look at me. I'm not like him, right? I do this and I do that. And he's counting all his things that he does right. And then he says, and I'm not like this tax collector, right? And then it says the tax collector just sat in the corner and he just beat at his chest. And he says, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Right? And it says that he went home with peace. Right? He went home with peace. And I think of that man and the widow with two mites, just little things, but it's their attitude, where their heart is. Right? This one man was trying to say, look at how great I am. I don't do these things like other people. But yet he's more in the wrong than the man who is thought of to be in the wrong, but just sat there and said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, please forgive me. See, we got to get to a place where we got to stop trying to hide, stop trying to cover, and just say, Lord, I need help. Right? Right? We just say, Lord, just forgive me, please. Right? We got to come to a place where we say, Lord, I need your mercy. Right? I can't do this on my own. We try, and I try to do this, and everywhere I go, the sin finds me. Right? Everywhere I go, eventually I try to get away from it, or eventually I cover it up, but it continues to find me. And the Lord is saying to us, because I want you to be set free. Right? This was important for them. This was important for them that this happened. Right? And it was important for the plan of salvation. Right? That this happens. And it's important for us that we be set free. So we see that the brothers, they're now in this place and they're back in front of Joseph and they have this horrible news and they're thinking, that's the end of Benjamin, excuse me. That's the end of Benjamin, that's the end of our father. They had the avenue to leave and now we see about Judah. And as we've learned in the story of Joseph and that there's over hundreds of comparisons between Joseph and Jesus. And we're going to see here some similarities now in Judah with Jesus. Because we see that now we see a transformation in Judah. Something happened, right? He got to that point we're talking about where I can't just cover it up anymore. I'm going to finally just say it. And he's the one that said, the Lord has found out our iniquities, right? He says, okay, guys, we're at this place. He became their spokesman. And he says, guys, we're wrong, right? And in verse 18, we're going to read through this. Judah then speaks. And it says, then Judah came near to him and said, oh, my Lord, please let your servant speak a word in my Lord's hearing, and do not let your anger burn against your servant, for you are even like Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, have you a father or a brother? And we said to my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, who is young. His brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother's children, and his father loves him. Then you said to your servants, bring him down to me, that I may set my eyes on him. And we said to my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. But you said to your servants, unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you shall see my face no more. So it was when we went up to your servant, my father, that we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, go back and buy us a little food. But we said, we cannot go down if our youngest brother is with us. Then we will go down, for we may not see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us. Then your servant, my father, said to us, you know that my wife bore me two sons, and the one who went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn to pieces, and I have not seen him since. But if you take this one also from me, and calamity befalls him, you shall bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to your servant, my father, and the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up in the lad's life, it will happen when he sees that the lad is not with us, that he will die. So your servants will bring him down the gray hair of your servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For your servant became surety for the lad to my father, saying, if I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father forever. Let me stop right there. We see here Judah, and I read somewhere that this is the longest speech recorded by a human in Genesis. Judah. I was like, write that one down for the test. That's for the test, everybody. What is the longest speech recorded in Genesis? That's your test. It's a freebie. But we see Judah, something happened. Something happened here. And we see that change now, which the Lord wants in each and every one of our lives. He wants us to stop hiding, stop covering, stop lying, stop deceiving, stop whatever it is, right? And just confess, just repent, come to a place where you say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, help me, please. I cannot do it on my own. Lord, help me, please. I'm tired of doing it on my own. Right? There's a famous saying that we've heard for year after year. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Right? Lord, I'm in that place. And the Lord says, that's a perfect place. Right? Now, experience my freedom. Now, step into my freedom. Right? Now, taste of my goodness. Right? Trying to cover up, trying to hide. We may have glimpses. We may have small little tastes and encounters or whatever. Right? But we're never going to fully experience the fullness of joy. Right? Because we're going to have something that keeps us, separates us from the Father, from the Father's love. And he says, stop hiding. Just release it. Amen? Cast your cares unto the Lord, because why? He cares for you. Right? Cast them, not, you know, one hand closed and one open. Right? Both hands. Just release it all. And I know easier said than done. Right? Because what gets in the way? Pride. Right? Pride's the main one. Right? Fear may get in the way, or whatever it may be. Right? Whatever it may be that happens. I mean, Lord, just help me. Right? Help me, whatever it is. Right? So we see in verse 32, he says, for your servant became surety for the lad to my father, saying, if I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father forever. You guys remember back verse 9 or 10, I think it was 9, where they are so confident that they say, you know what, let him die, whoever has it. Right? They don't know, and they're, once again, they're saying, remember, right? They said before, kill my two older sons. Reuben said, kill my two older sons. And right? Not the smartest words to say. But once again, we see them in the flesh, you know, let him die, whoever it is. Right? But he's saying here, I became a surety for him. What's a surety? It's when you make, I'm going to make sure that this plan goes through. Right? I'm going to make sure. I told my father, I'm going to make sure Benjamin comes back. Right? And we see that Judah intercedes here. And everything he's saying, he's interceding for Benjamin. Who intercedes on our behalf? Jesus. Right? Judah. This is Judah, guys. And Pastor Al said this last week, it was last week, I paid attention. This was him, right, who came up with the plan. Came up with the plan to what? To sell Joseph. Had incest with his daughter-in-law, right? This is the same guy that is now interceding, right? And we're seeing the examples here of him and what Jesus did for us, right? And we see this guy all of a sudden having a change. Right, and it goes to show us, and this is a reminder again, that it doesn't matter where you came from, what you did, what you experienced, what you were told, what you thought of yourself, whatever it may be, Jesus can turn it all around for the good. Right? Jesus can and will turn it all around for the good. Right? Same guy is now interceding for his younger brother. And Joseph is seeing this. He's seeing, look, there's a change here. He now cares not only for my younger brother, he's caring for my father. Right? He says, this cannot happen. He's interceding. He says, please, you cannot allow this to happen. Right? You don't understand. He's trying to tell him, you don't understand just the seriousness of all this, the harm that it's going to cause. Right? There was a change in his heart. Why? Because he repented. Right? Why was there a change? He repented. He said, that's it. I give up. Right? I'm not going to run anymore. I'm not going to lie anymore. My sin has found me. And I'm just going to say, Lord, forgive me. Right? And then we see a change. He intercedes. Right? We know Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of who? Judah. Amen? Judah became a surety for Benjamin. He said, I'm going to make sure that Benjamin returns. Right? And just in the same way, Jesus became a surety for us. Right? He went through the plan. I'm going to make sure this plan goes through. Right? Lord, let this cup pass. Right? Nevertheless, your will be done. Right? Not my will, but your will be done. He says, I'm going to make sure this plan goes through. Don't you think I can call legions of angels right now? Right? I can do it if I wanted to. I can call them right now. We'll end this. But nevertheless, your will be done, Lord. Right? Judah was willing to take Benjamin's place and separate himself from his father. I didn't read the last verse. Let me read it. I jumped a little bit ahead of myself. He tells him, verse 33 once again, now therefore please let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brothers. For how shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me, lest perhaps I see the evil that would come upon my father. So we see, as I was saying, that Judah was willing to take the place of Benjamin to leave his father's presence. He says, let him return. I'll go in his place. Right? He said, let him go. I'll take his place. So Judah was willing to take Benjamin's place and separate himself from his father. And Jesus did the same for us, to the point where he was on the cross and he said, my father, why have you forsaken me? Right? He took the place for us. Amen? He took the place for us. Judah tried to assume responsibility to make sure Benjamin will come to the father. Judah made sure, or he was trying to make sure, that he made it back to the Father. And we're going to end with this. John chapter 14, verse 1, says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, for no one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus assured that we have a way back to the Father. Judah was trying and he was fighting, he was begging, please, let me stay, let me go, right? And we're going to see, and we're going to end on this cliffhanger. And that's how this chapter ends. And we're going to see, and some of us know what happens in 45. But we see, and it gives us a little glimpse, Just like Judah interceded, we have Jesus who intercedes on our behalf. Just like Judah wanted him, and I'll take his place, Jesus took our place. And just like Judah wants to assure that he returns home to the Father, Jesus took our place. He paid the price for us. He shed the blood for us. He was beaten for us. He was bruised for our iniquities. And he went through it all for us. He became sin for us so that we can return to the Father. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we give you honor and we give you glory. Father, we just thank you tonight, Lord. And we thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the price you paid for us, Lord. We thank you that you took our place, Lord. Father, we thank you that you created a path through you, Lord, to the Father. We give you all honor. We give you glory, Lord. And I pray you help us, Lord, if there's anything in our lives that we may be carrying, covering, concealing. If we know it, if we don't know it, Lord, please reveal it to us, Lord. We want to live in your freedom. We want to walk and we want to live in your truth, Lord. I pray you help us, Lord. We repent of our sins, Lord. And we pray you help us, Lord. You are our Lord. You are our Savior, Lord. We just thank you and we give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.